Golf Smarter number 418, published on January 7, 2014, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
Smarterpodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
The 2013 PGA Tour Matty B Awards.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast, Matty B.
Fred, it is great to be back. It's always the highlight of my year.
I doubt that. I've been watching your work, and you have been very busy this year, so I doubt this is the highlight.
Well, it's one of them. I love it. I really do. All kidding aside, I love coming on with you.
What have you been up to, man? I stumbled across Alpha House, the show is made specifically for Amazon, right? And
yeah.
And you are a mercenary.
Yeah, I'm in a couple episodes. I play Captain Brandon Carshaw, who is a Iraq war veteran and now working for a private security firm. And we get business with the senators, taking them on what's called a CODEL, a congressional delegation, which is a real thing that we had to learn all about. And I take them to Iraq and Afghanistan. It was a fun shoot. I was, you know, it took about 2 weeks to shoot everything, all my scenes. It was just a blast.
And where did you shoot it?
We shot, different areas of New York, actually, both for the interiors and exteriors, kind of doubled for D.C. Of course, they shoot a lot of exterior stuff in D.C., but the interiors of, like, you know, the halls of Congress were at different courthouses in and around New York City. And then the exterior of Afghanistan was actually an airport in Long Island, which was incredible because, you know, I'm walking in the small little airport, and then you see this kind of big, huge wall, and you turn the corner around the wall, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm in Afghanistan. It's incredible, the effects.
But it looked like you were out in open space, out in the desert.
Yes, they did an incredible job of doing that. They had these big dusters. You know, the set design people are just amazing, you know, on these big-time shows and films. They just can really create an environment, and they know exactly where to shoot it. You know, they had like these dusters, you know, that would like kind of blow dust and sand on the cars and on everything. It was really a cool thing to be part of. It was a lot of fun.
And how was working with John Goodman?
Oh, John Goodman was incredible. He's such a pro. One funny thing that happened, it's never happened to me in my career. They have what's called first team and second team. And, first team is your actors who you're going to see on screen a lot of times. And, or, you know, sometimes they call it second unit, first unit, whatever. And so basically it's like stand-ins so that the actors aren't sitting out there forever while they light it and, you know, move the cameras and stuff. So you have it's a very surreal thing. Some of these shows and television things I do, and films, you have a guy who's about your size and he's got your name taped on his shirt. It kind of looks like you a little bit. And everybody in the scene with you has a double like this. My first day on the set, and again, this has never happened to me before on a set. For whatever reason, John Goodman had kind of not come in till right when they were about to start rolling. And I kind of, you know, we replaced the guys who were the stand-ins, and they call us on. And when I go, they go, okay, you know, camera speeding, let's go, you know, and they're about to take. And I turn, and the stand-in guy is gone, and it's John Goodman in my face. And I just kind of... I just kind of went, line, you know, and he just made this big smile. Like, you know, picture John Goodman's classic smile. And he goes, is this going to be a long day? And I go, no, sir. And it was awesome. He was great. The whole cast and the director, everyone was just wonderful to me. It was a great, you know, a couple weeks.
How many episodes did you get to do?
I'm in two of the first three episodes.
Oh, then I've seen it all.
Yes. That's the end of my character, I
believe. Oh, I'm sorry.
As far as I know.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I want to see you more. So, but there's been a lot of commercials.
Yeah, I've been I've been blessed in the commercial world. I got a new one coming out. It might even, by the time you put this on, it might be out. I did a Progresso soup commercial where I'm talking to my mother. It's very tender and loving.
Aww.
Kind of a departure from most of my stuff. More dramatic.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah. I also wanted to tell you that I had a film I did this past summer. You and I haven't talked in a few months, but I did a film this past summer, and the film got into Sundance.
Wow.
So I'm going to the Sundance Film Festival.
Wow.
Very excited about that.
Can you tell us about the film?
Yes. It's called Hits, and it was written and directed by David Cross, who many of your audience probably know if they follow comedy. He's a very famous, well-respected comedian. He's on the show Arrested Development. He plays Tobias. He's the bald guy. He was in Alvin and the Chipmunks. He's very well known. He did a show called Mr. Show, with Bob Odenkirk from Breaking Bad. So he's really amazing talent, and this is his writing and directing debut. And I would say this. It's not, you know, one of the leads, but all I can say is when you see this movie, you will remember my role. That's all I can say.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. it's quite a memorable role.
That's it. That's all we get.
I'm local law enforcement. I can tell you that too. I play local.
Are you
law enforcement?
You're starting to get typecasts.
Play a lot of cops, Fred.
You sure seem to be, except on the commercials when it's all soft and fuzzy.
I've got what you call range, Fred.
Well, we'll see about that, Matty B. So for people who have no idea what's going on here, every year just about this time, Matty comes on and gives us his look, his take on the previous year's PGA Tour. Matty is, obviously, we talk about, he's an actor. He's also a stand-up comic. But there's other things coming, if I'm not mistaken. Can you talk about stuff you've got going with, let's say, NBC?
Yes. This news might be most relevant to your audience, actually. I just signed a deal with the Golf Channel.
Oh.
Yes. So I will be kind of doing what I do with you, that is giving my skewed, kind of wacky view of golf on the Golf Channel. I'm going to start off on a show called In Play with Jimmy Roberts.
Jimmy Roberts. He's been on the Golf Smarter podcast before. He had a book come out. And so
That's right.
Yeah,
that's,
I got to interview him about his book.
Love his
work.
About slumps, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I've known Jimmy for years since my show on NBC Sports that I used to have. I used to write and do my own show called The Matty Blake Show, and Jimmy was on that. So we've always stayed in touch. And they basically are making his show from a half hour to an hour.
Wow.
So I'm helping them out a little bit with that, with writing and doing a piece on that show. So I'm really excited to finally be on the Golf Channel. It's been a long time coming, I feel like. So.
And I am so happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. So you can put on, when you put me on the show and you say Matty Blake, you can say Matty Blake from the Golf Channel with his crazy year in review.
Okay, we'll do that. But How do I get on your coattails?
Well,
aren't you going to tell them about me, please?
Yes, I will. I just need to get a little juice there first.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Then we're show.
Yeah, hey, I do this show once a year. Well, I'm glad things are going so well, and I'm very excited about getting started to do. To do the year in review with you. But before we do it, let's just get this commercial out of the way here.
Yes.
And this episode of the Golf Smarter podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. Audible would like to give you a chance to try it for free. Audiobooks are awesome, and if you've never done it, you've got to try it. And so here's an opportunity, if you live in the United States, here's an opportunity for you to sign up for an account and get your first book for free. And if you're not totally satisfied after 30 days, you can cancel it, but I'm not going to let them know that I said that. So just sign up today, and we'd like to make a recommendation. Now, Matty, you're on the move all the time. Do you listen to audiobooks?
you know, I might be your best person for this little segment because I take the Metro North into the city most days from Connecticut into New York City is my commute for my acting career. And then I'm on the subways all day going from audition to audition or appointment to appointment. So I listen to a lot of podcasts, a lot of audiobooks.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it really, and that's true. It's audiobook, podcast, those things. If you listen to one, you'll probably tend to go towards the other as well.
Yes. Yes. I love audible.com. It's really, honestly, it's great.
And what have you read recently that you'd like to share with us?
I just finished one. Ooh. Actually. Going into this break, this holiday break, I finished Stephen King's new book, Dr. Sleep, the follow up to the long awaited follow up to The Shining.
Oh,
yeah.
And are you a Stephen King fan?
I am. Yeah, I'm not ravenous. My buddy Eric is ravenous Stephen King. I've only read a few, but I read The Dome and a couple others. But those are audiobooks too. But this. I had when I found out he was doing a sequel to The Shining, I had to listen.
And it sure.
What's amazing about it is just so many hours of, even if you're not crazy about the book, it's just so many hours of audio. It's just so entertaining, and it's a great thing.
Yeah. And it's narrated, Dr. Sleep, a novel by Stephen King, is narrated by Will Patton.
He's a great actor.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
And you did a good job for this?
Oh, yeah. If you Google Will Patton, he was in – oh, my God. He's been in so many films. You'll know his face the second you see. He was in No Way Out, the Kevin Costner movie. He played Gene Hackman's, right-hand man. And in that movie, he was in, I think, Remember the Titans. He was one of the coaches. He's been in tons of stuff, and he's great in this. He actually makes it. He's
awesome. Great.
Yeah,
that's what's so incredible about audiobooks. If you have a good reader, they can transform the whole experience from the page to cinematic.
Yes.
In your head.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for that recommendation. And next year, start thinking about it now because next year we're going to make you do it again. So if that intrigues you and you want that to be the book of your choice for free, why not? Is it a long one? Let's see. It's 18 and a half hours.
Yes.
What a great place to start to sign up for free because.
And your listener could get that for free if they started the account?
Yeah. And it's a $35 book, audiobook.
Do it.
Yeah. A great place to start. So if you're going to do that, to get that free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Audible is AUDIBLE. audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. All right, Maddie. Yeah. Thank you very much for doing that. I appreciate it. So now let's move on and talk about the PGA Tour for 2013.
Yes, the Maddies.
The Maddie Bees.
Yeah, hold on. Let me just adjust my tux tie here. Okay.
Oh, you're looking so good.
You're looking so good.
I'm just wearing jeans and a pullover. I'm just from the sidelines here. I'm sorry. I'm not dressed up this year.
But you have that tuxedo T-shirt, do you not?
I do. Oh, that's right. You have the camera on. Okay. So, yeah, I'm wearing my tuxedo T-shirt for the Maddie B Awards for 2013, PGA Tour. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to Maddie Blake, a.k.a. Maddie B and the Maddie B Awards. Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Well, the first Maddie is, what's funny, too, is I try to remember every year what my categories are, and I never can. So we get new categories every year. It's very exciting.
And we should. I mean, unless we start getting letters from people going, wait a minute, you didn't do the most egregious moment. And, it's like, So I like new categories.
Yes. So I remember in years past I've done some sort of rookie of the year or something like that. So I did one for my new favorite player of the year.
Your new favorite player. Okay.
Yes. Yes. The Maddie goes to Kiradek Afibarnarat.
No, wait a minute. Is this person getting this award because of their name and you were able to say it or because you like this person's golf?
I love what he looks like. I love the name. I love his whole deal. He's rotund. He's heavy. I want your audience to Google images of him.
I'm going to right now.
Yes. He's on the Asian tour. I believe he is Thai, and he's fat, and he smokes butts when he plays.
Wait, and say his name again. Can you spell it?
Yes, Kiradech, K-I-R-A-D-E-C-H. Afi Barnarat.
Oh my gosh, what a great name.
Right? And he's awesome. And he's good. That's the thing. It's not just comic relief. He won the Malaysian Open in March, I believe it was.
Yes, he did.
Which I watched some on the Golf Channel, actually. And he was top 25 at the PGA, the one that Duffner won.
Wow.
Yeah, he contended a few times late this year. He's the real deal. In fact, I believe, and your listeners might correct me on this, he won the Junior World Golf Championships twice, I think back to back in like
2003 and 2004.
Ah, okay. And is that true?
Boys 13 and 14.
Yeah, man. So he's the real deal. You know what? In this age of fitness and golfers who are in great shape and they're in the fitness trailer, I love to see a good old fashioned fat golfer smoke his butt. So way to go, Kira Deck. You're my new favorite.
We like fat golfers. And he still has to walk the golf course. And you say he's Korean? Or where is he from? Oh my gosh. And Kira Deck is not as what he's also known as. I'm not even going to try to say it. I'm looking here on Wikipedia, and there's an also. He's from Thailand.
Yeah,
Anujit Hirunratanakorn. Okay,
good.
So for every listener around the world who is totally
offended,
pissed
right
off, yeah, totally offended by our just destroying his name. Oops, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He did get a Matty, so that counts for something.
He did get a Matty, and he was top 25 in the 2013 PGA Championship.
Excellent.
Didn't play in the Masters and the U.S. Open, and didn't make the cut at the Open Championship. But top 25. Not bad.
At a major. It's no joke.
Matty's new favorite player, Kira Deck. And we don't even know if that's how it's pronounced.
Team Afi Barnarat. That's what I say.
Okay. We're getting shirts made.
Let's do it. Let's move on to, speaking of shirts, that was a nice segue you accidentally just made, because I have a best and worst dressed, Matt.
That was a pretty good segue.
This is like the Mr. Blakewell Awards, if you will.
The best dressed?
Best dressed goes to Roe Ishikawa, who, I'm on an Asian tour kick here, but he wears those cool armbands. Have you noticed that? He has these cool little, like, they look like they're, I don't know what they are, but he wears these cool outfits and they have like little armbands. He dresses more like he's wearing a superhero costume than golf clothing. It's pretty cool. Worst dressed goes to Bo Van Pelt, who but he wears, I don't think this type of stuff bothers anyone else. And I would love it if one of your listeners were to email and give me support that this also bothers them, or maybe they disagree with me, because sometimes I think I'm crazy, but I watch him golf and it drives him crazy. He wears nice golf clothes, right? But the collars are plaid. So he'll have like, I hate it. Like all the edging and stuff is plaid. It looks horrible.
Yeah. They're definitely designed on his collars.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Not a fan.
You don't like it, huh? He's a fashion faux pas.
Yeah, so he gets a Matty for worst dressed, which I don't know if he'll celebrate that award or not. I don't know.
Well, I don't think he's going to be bragging about it to anybody. but if, man, you're going to be at the Golf Channel, you're going to be able to go face to face with some of these guys. I doubt they're going to hear this conversation, but you can say it to their face and see what happens.
I will say, Bo, what's with the plaid, buddy?
Yeah, yo, Bo.
You know who does that also is Zach Johnson. From time to time, will break out the plaid collars.
Really.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's an alarming trend. It's an alarming trend that must stop. You know what was one of the worst fashion trends ever on tour was a couple years ago. Jim Furyk was wearing the button-down kind of Hawaiian shirts, they buttoned all the way down the front. Thank God someone got him out of that. Someone put sense into him. But now he's got the huge 5-Hour Energy logo in his hat. He looks like a walking billboard.
Well, yeah, they all look like – I mean, yeah, they are walking billboards. And he's kind of low key, and Fluff is definitely not a 5-Hour Energy guy.
No.
Well, and what do you think of Loudmouth, the clothes that Daly wears?
You know, I wouldn't wear them, but I'm a huge fan. Well,
You would. Yeah, you would, especially on TV.
I've noticed that there's a great comedian. Does a bit about having the percentage of guys who drive Hummers, and he does like a pie chart, and it's like 0.2% poets and 98% douchebags. I kind of feel the same way about loudmouth. Like John Daly can get away with it, but when I see like stockbrokers out there wearing loudmouth and chewing cigars, I kind of like I kind of avoid those foursomes.
Okay, that's I'll give you that.
But they are cool. They are cool looking.
Yeah, it's pretty fun stuff. I have a friend who wears it when we go out and play, and he's always bright yellow one way or another. It's pretty funny.
It's fun.
But he raises bees, too, so.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess, oh, yeah, you're dressed appropriately. All right, so the best dressed, worst dressed, done. Yeah. Next? Yeah. Wait, where are we going next?
This is a new Maddie, I believe. Player I'm most jealous of.
The player you are most jealous of, and are we coming up to a Tiger Wood moment here?
No.
Oh.
He was the perennial winner of this award, but he's being unseated this year.
Really?
Yes.
And why were you jealous of him before? And no longer.
I was just trying to go with it.
Okay, fine. So who are you jealous of now, Matty B?
Well, he had a pretty good life. He had the hot. He had the hot wife.
Well, I thought that's why you're jealous of him now.
He blew that one.
Yeah, right. But I mean, now he's with this girl that's taller than him.
That's true. That's true.
And he's big.
The Maddie this year for player I'm most jealous of goes to Adam Scott.
Uh huh.
I mean, it's really no fair. He wins a major.
Finally, thank you. Congratulations.
Good looking. He's ridiculously good looking. You know, it's the same thing, Fred. I say to you about Tom Brady. If you're that good looking, you should not be allowed to be that good at any sport.
Well, it's true, because in high school, you know, the athletes in college, it's like the dumpy guys, but they get all the girls. But now when you're great looking too, come on.
It's ridiculous. And he's charming. He's got the accent.
Yeah.
He's completely good looking. He's awesome at golf. Like, come on, God should spread it out a little bit more. You know, like he should have like a cowlick or something, or maybe a slight acne problem or something. Plus, I'm not crazy. You know, I got to say this. I didn't think of myself. You know me. I'm not exactly a golf purist, but I do. There's something about seeing. And all kidding aside, when I watch him play and I watch him win a major with the long putter, something in me goes, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Well, that's not going to last very much longer.
I know. And I wonder if we're going to look back. Will we look back, Fred? This is an interesting question. In 10 years, maybe even 5 years, you know, I should say this, 10 years from when the rule kicks in. Will we look back on clips of people like Adam Scott winning with the long putter and go, I don't know.
You put an asterisk by it?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah. What I'm curious to know is, like, they waited 30 years. The long putter was the anchored putter was out there for like 30 years. Are they going to now wait that long to say, you know what? Hybrids are not really golf clubs. We can't use those anymore. They're illegal.
You know, I think I hear you. I think their argument would be that the equipment is a separate issue from the using an outside, in other words, affecting your swing, using an anchoring process to change the swing path of the club. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can look at illegal materials and the way the club is built, and then you can look at the actual swing itself and physiological things you do to change it, you know, putting on a device or anchor it in your gut or holding it against your leg or bracing the club like that. I think that's an easier thing to legislate than, oh, it's titanium versus whatever.
Yeah. I still don't agree with it, but, you know.
Yeah, no.
I don't – no one cares what I think. You're – now, wait. I got to know something about – let's get back to being jealous of Adam Scott.
Yes.
I'm just curious because, you know, you're not an ugly guy, Matty B, and you're able to adjust your hair and your facial hair for the role that you play, whatever part you get.
Yes.
Do you feel that if you're jealous of Adam Scott, if you looked like Adam Scott, would you have the acting career that you have now?
That's a really good point. And I want to know at what point did the Maddies turn into my needed therapy sessions? My much needed therapy. Well, here's the thing.
I'm curious, Matt. How do you feel?
Let me just lay down on the couch here. I feel like, see, because the ultimate dream job in life would be to be a professional golfer. I mean, come on.
Not an actor who gets to play golf all the time?
Well, I mean, I'm living the dream.
Yeah, right. Come on.
I should say professional. You know, if I could be a famous athlete, it'd be professional golf. So then you go, okay.
I don't know.
Let's just say, for sake of argument, because for me it is. Okay. I'd rather be a professional golfer than, say, like a basketball player. And okay. And then you say, okay, you also get to be literally movie star handsome, like leading man good looks. So I'm an actor. I don't have leading man good looks, so I'm a character actor. Okay, that's all right. I've made the best of it. I'm funny and do everything. But it's almost like saying, you know, you get the leading man best looks to be an actor if you wanted to be, but you also are a sick golfer, like best in the world, top 20 in the world. It's like, come on, spread it around a little bit. Why can't the great golfer be a little ugly?
And are you supposed to have the little hole in your chin? Are you going to have the Tom Brady, Adam Scott, he's got that,
yes,
right?
He's got the Tom Brady dimple in the chin. It's no fair.
Not fair. You're supposed to have a gap in your teeth like David Letterman.
Yeah. Yes. Oppie Bonnerat, baby. Oppie Bonnerat. All the way.
Fat with a stub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want my golfers fat. I don't want my golfers looking like Barry Gibb.
Dead?
That's a Dennis Miller line.
Okay. He's not around anymore, I thought. Barry Gibb.
No, he died.
Yeah, he did.
It's an old line about...
Too soon?
Too soon? I offended all the BG fans. Let's move on.
Okay, well, we lost two listeners. Okay, so... Let's go after ABBA next.
Yes. Yes. Let's get let's do a serious one here.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. Okay. This is my All right, we'll do one more funny. We'll
No, go serious. Okay. I hope you have a lot more here.
I do. Oh, I do.
Oh, great. Because okay, I'll tell you in a minute. Go ahead.
We have the win of the year, which last year I believe I called moment of the year.
I don't know. I would have to say that would be the 49er game on Monday Night Football just recently when they the last night at Candlestick Park. That would probably be the win of the year. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Patriot fan. You're not.
I'm wicked am. By the way.
Wait, you're going to tell me that game ending was like not the greatest game ending ever on the coach's 50th birthday at the last time they play in that stadium? Come on.
By the way.
Yes, sir.
It was probably fixed.
What?
By the way.
Yeah, it's the NFL. Of course it is.
Atlanta gave them more of a game, I think, than many people
absolutely
thought.
It looked like Atlanta was going to win that game at that moment.
But I remember listening to when will they learn? When will the sportscasters learn? Every time there's a game like that where one team who was put out of the playoffs by the other team the year before, and that team coming back has kind of nothing to play for. They love being spoilers. And John Gruden, as the kickoff is going off, he's like, it's going to be a tough night for Atlanta here. And I'm going, why would you say that? How do you know?
Yeah, right.
You know,
well, that's why they play the game, and they start at zero.
That's exactly right. But yeah, what a great night for San Francisco. That was all kidding aside, that was a special thing.
Yeah, that was great. I have a bunch of friends over, and we were like, okay, share your Candlestick memories. Start with the 49ers, and let's go to the Giants. Anyway, completely different show, and I've got stories to tell like that, but let's talk about golf. What was the win of the year?
Yes, the moment / win of the year in golf did not happen at Candlestick Park, although this player has some ties to the West Coast. My moment of the year, my win of the year, as you know, I'm a big Phil fan, was Phil Mickelson winning the British Open in the way he did. I'm sorry, the Open Championship. In the fashion with which he did that. I think going into Sunday, it was kind of like, didn't really like he was, you know, in the hunt maybe. And then he even had a, if I remember correctly, he even made an ill-timed bogey coming in on the par three. And you're going, well, here comes Phil fading, you know.
Yep.
And then he just – it's funny. If you remember earlier in the year at the Phoenix Open, he – like dominated that tournament. I think it was wire to wire leader, and he had like a 67 on the last day.
He loves that golf course.
Yeah, and remember, and then the day before he lipped out. It would have been a 59.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I dealt that putt. Remember, it was like a 60.
Oh god. Going down.
And so you go, man. That was his performance of the year. That was so great that he had that. But you know, you kind of don't think he's going to top it. And then that British Open, when he got to that green and hugged his kids, I admit it. I might have got a little choked up.
You got a little kid. You get it.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was a great, great moment. It was good to see him get another one. And then, you know what? I'm going to go right back to back because one ties into the other.
I'll let
you. This Maddie's for the most annoying win.
Okay.
I just made this up on the fly.
Okay.
The Maddie for most annoying win.
Oh, wait. People are thinking, wait a minute, you prepare this? No, he actually does. When he says he made it up on the fly, he's like fooling both of us. What else you got? What's the most annoying win?
The Maddies are one of the greatest pieces of improv I ever do, by the way.
But seriously, folks.
Most annoying win goes to Justin Rose for winning the U.S. Open and taking it away from Phil Mickelson. And I believe it was Phil's sixth runner-up at the U.S. Open.
Oh.
So Phil could have had two majors and finally won the U.S. Open, the one that's eluded him, the one he wants the most. And stupid Justin Rose had to win. I haven't been this mad at a victory since Stuart Sink beat Tom Watson at the British.
Wow.
I still haven't forgiven him for this win. You know, he sat up there on the green, if you remember, and he joked. He's like, oh, I'm sorry I won. Everyone's like, oh, I'm yelling at the TV going, you should be sorry you won. Tom Watson had that.
Oh.
Greatest story in sports history. I still can't look at Stuart Sink.
Oh, well, you know, I'm glad I've learned that you carry a grudge. And I'm going to remember that for the future.
I would have blown that putt on purpose if I was him. I wasn't going to win it.
I don't think so. That's not why they're there. How much money do you lose if you miss that putt on purpose, right?
Yeah, that's true. And your one chance to win it. You don't know if you're going to win another major.
But clearly.
It was winning. I would have loved
Tell to that to Tiger.
Yeah.
You just don't know when you're going to have
Tiger would have tackled Tom Watson to win that tournament.
Well, look, I got an idea here. We've run out of time.
Okay.
So I would love to continue this conversation, make part two, and we'll do a members only episode. You cool with that?
Love it.
Okay. Here's my gift. If you're not a member of Golf Smarter and we are going to be doing this member only episode part two, I know that you're just dying to hear Maddie finish this up. I'm going to put this out to everybody for free as well. So that's my gift to you. Now gift me back. Remember, this is a listener-supported podcast. Please join Golf Smarter for members only. It's how we survive and how I'm able to justify my wife. Yeah, no, we should still do this. She goes, really? You think you're making any money? No, I'm not, but we have people who like to listen to the members only stuff. I just got myself in so much trouble. So Maddie B, thank you again. Happy New Year, and we're going to continue this next week, all right?
Thank you, brother.
Happy New Year! Well, this is not only our first episode of the new year, it's also the first public episode of our ninth year together. And to repeat, as my gift of thanks to you, part two of the Maddie B Awards coming next week is going to be free for everyone. But don't expect that to happen often. You may not be aware of this, but unfortunately, Golf Smarter is not a production distributed by a large media company. Or for that matter, a small media company. I'm just a weekend golfer, and I have a lot of questions and the right equipment. So, if you like what the podcast is about, enjoy the presentation, are entertained, and you don't want to miss a single episode, then please join Golf Smarter for members only at golfsmarter.com. This is a listener-supported podcast. I'm very excited about the upcoming year, and of course, the new golf season of improvement for all of us. Already scheduled. I've got sports psychologists and mental game gurus, putting and short game experts. We'll have new equipment, more authors, movie makers, and a whole lot more in 2014. So if you have any questions, comments, or requests, please click on the Hey Fred button on the Golf Smarter app for Apple or Android or at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.